Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I'm your host, Lisa Hendy, and hopefully your friend, too. And I'm just so happy to share another great conversation with you this week. Thanks to everybody who's been following up on our recent chats. We had Brother Casey Cole and last week's Sister Marie Paul Curley from My Sisters and the Daughters of St. Paul. And I love the feedback you're sharing on how these just not only very holy folks, but also folks who are just so down to earth and providing us real practical insights, how they've blessed you. So thanks for that feedback. And again, I'm really blessed this week to share another new friend with you. Lisa Duffy is a Catholic author, a speaker, and a divorce recovery expert who experienced the tragedy of an unwanted divorce in her own life in the early 1990s. And since then, she has spent nearly 20 years of her life helping people rebuild their own lives after divorce. She's an author of many books. She is the founder of the Institute of the Journey of Hope program for Catholic divorce support groups that's meeting in parishes around the country. And she is also a wife and a mom of three children. Welcome to the show, Lisa Duffy.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's a real treat. And actually, you know, I know that we often, I don't think we've actually ever met in person, but I think we've often spoken in similar places and have, you know, run across each other's work. And I've been actually recommending your work for many years now. I'm just really thrilled to have you on to talk about this new book. But before we dive into that, I want to just maybe get like a little bit of a personal introduction to Lisa. So now that we've read your bio, what else would you like to tell our podcast listeners?
Sure. Well, I think one of the questions I get most often is, why are you doing this? Because you're not divorced, you're happily married. So, but the truth is that I, you know, as you read in the bio, I did go through a very unwanted divorce back in the 1990s. And it was just the most devastating experience of my life. Before that happened, I had lost three children in miscarriage and had surgery to correct the problem. But the surgery, even though it fixed one problem, it actually sterilized me. So the doctors told me I would have less than a 1% chance of ever conceiving children, which basically meant no. And so when the divorce happened, I found myself in very difficult circumstances, certainly contradicting everything I had been raised to be. I came from a big Catholic Mexican Irish family and with lots of kids and, you know, just tons of relatives. So here I was, 30 years old. I was divorced, childless, without the hope of having children, and Catholic. And I was pretty angry about the way my life had turned out. My, I couldn't believe that God had allowed that to happen to me. And so I sort of went forth trying to find my way. I looked for support from a Catholic perspective and really just couldn't find anything. And so I, you know, was encouraged to date and, you know, kind of go the way of the world. I think the best way to say it is I sought healing in the world instead of in Christ. And that just brought me to rock bottom. And one day I just realized I was so far away from who God had created me to be. And I wanted my life back. I wanted my relationship with God back. I had never stopped going to Mass, but it was out of obligation only. So I embraced my faith, and I restored my relationship with God. And I went through the annulment process in 1997, and I found it to be an extremely healing process, even though there were difficult points in it. But then I, you know, met the man that I'm married to today. 7 years later, I met the man that I'm married to today, Jim Duffy. We are celebrating 18 years on June 17th. And despite what the doctors said, we have three beautiful, healthy teenagers that didn't require any, you know, any help. So I'm so pleased to be living the life that God has given me. And there's just no possible way that I could just sit by and not do anything, knowing how devastating divorce is, knowing how many people there are out there who are suffering tremendously. I, you know, anything that I do, give a talk, write a book, anything, it's all to reach out to those people and let them know that God loves them, that God has a future for them, and just I want to help them heal. So that's basically where I'm coming from.
I love that, and I love the words of kind of outreach and support and encouragement that you offer, because I know that this particular topic can just be so heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching for the person who's going through a divorce. It's heart-wrenching certainly for the people around them who love them. And it also can be a time of profound confusion when if people don't have the right information, assumptions can be made that often aren't correct about the teachings of the church or the way that God feels about you as a person who's, you know, struggling through this. And so I'm just so happy that that we have your book, that we also have our Holy Father, who probably, you know, has really talked about this a lot in recent years as a topic that's really, you know, being discussed a lot. So what prompted you to write this book, Mending the Heart, A Catholic Annulment Companion?
Well, you know, it's basically what you touched upon. There's so much confusion about the annulment process. And, you know, in doing the Journey of Hope program or any of the divorce recovery coaching that I do, I often hear people say that they would never consider the annulment process because they took their vows seriously and they married for life and the church can't change that. And that in itself makes me feel so sad because the church isn't trying to change it. The annulment process doesn't dissolve valid marriage vows. It doesn't do away with them, doesn't sweep them under the carpet. It's nothing like that. All it does is determine whether or not a valid marriage took place on the day of the wedding. And so for that reason alone, it's really important to get out there and to let people know the truth, because this is a tool that the church has given us, a tool for healing, but also a tool to help you understand, if you have gone through a divorce, where you stand with the church, and it gives you a clear direction to head in. It reveals the truth. So I really wanted to make sure that people had it. You know, the other thing is, I had a friend who was working for a publisher, and they were publishing many great Catholic publications, and she spoke with a lot of tribunal employees around the country, and they all had kind of the same complaint, which is, you know, we spend so much of our time on the phone answering questions. It would be great if we could just have something to hand out, you know, to give someone so they could answer, you know, get the answers to their questions and not be afraid and you know, all the things that go with that. So that was the other, like the flip side of that coin, why I wanted to write the book. And also, you know, when Pope Francis rolled out the administrative changes to the process, the mainstream media really did a disservice to so many people with the way they reported that. It was so sad some of the things that were said. So I included in the book an explanation of the changes that were made.
Yeah, that's really significant. And that's in chapter two of the book, which I love the titles for your chapters. That chapter is called A Time to Keep, A Time to Cast Away. So talk a little bit about that. The titling, first of all, before we dive into the content, there's a theme here.
Sure, yes. An important one for me. I think what's important is people who go through a divorce often feel like that's it. It's the dead end, and that it defines them, that label of divorce defines them. It tells people who they are. Oh, you're divorced. Oh, well, okay. It's a common thread, especially among Catholics, because, as you know, the Catholic Church upholds Christ's teaching of the permanency of marriage. And so there's a lot of guilt and shame that goes along with this. And I, not only do I love this scripture passage for other reasons, but it seemed to kind of set the tone that, you know, divorce doesn't define you. It's something that happened to you. And so this is a season in your life that will pass at some point. And it's a message of hope for, you know, for me, something that I wanted to extend to others. That, you know, it's not always going to be like this. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. You know, there's a time to be born and a time to kill. I forget offhand the wording, but it's that sort of message that it's going to pass away and there will be a new chapter in your life and God still has good things in store for you, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. So the scripture relates back to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And if you're looking specifically to be kind of recharmed by this particular passage, it's Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And it really is one of my favorite portions of scripture. So I love the way you've woven it into what is a very pastoral book. And let's talk a minute about, let's talk directly to that man or woman who's out there, who's been civilly divorced, maybe recently or maybe years ago. Why is this, why should the annulment process be kind of separated away from the idea that somebody might want to get married again? Why is it in and of itself something that could be truly healing for someone?
That's an excellent question, and one that so many people overlook or bypass. In my experience, what happened was in going through the annulment questionnaire, I was forced to take a very hard and honest look at the truth of what had happened in my dating, engagement, and married life with my ex-spouse. There's particular emphasis on the day of the wedding, but they take a look at all that time. And it really, it helped me grow up emotionally, spiritually, and probably in other ways too. Primarily because up until that point, I just blamed my ex-spouse for everything. So I was going through the annulment process 3.5 years after the divorce had happened. And I was still blaming him for everything. And the annulment process helped me to see that even though I was the faithful spouse, and even though I fought for my marriage and I asked for reconciliation, those are good things, but I was not a perfect spouse. There's no question. And I had to kind of own up to that. I had to sit down and realize, you know, I contributed to the failure of this marriage. And that really opened my eyes. And, you know, maybe not everyone who goes through the annulment process will have that sort of realization or awakening. But for me, it was extremely helpful. But on a more generic basis, that annulment questionnaire requires essay answers to very deep question. And why is that? Because the church wants to know the dirt? No. Because they're trying to put together the most complete picture of what happened so they can make that determination. Did a valid marriage come into being on the day of the wedding or not? It's a very important decision that they're making. So I can't imagine that someone would go through that anonymous questionnaire without having some truth revealed to them and experiencing some personal growth in a major, major way. So that's one of those aspects. But, you know, the other thing is there's such a cleansing feeling that goes along with this. Yes, it's painful to revisit those memories and painful to think about the bad things that happened, but it helps you make peace with the past. It really, truly does. And it helps you sort of close that chapter of your life and set it aside so you can be free to move forward.
I love that. And one of the things that struck me when I was reading your book, Lisa, in the sixth chapter, like, so I, God willing, I haven't been through an annulment myself. My husband and I will celebrate another anniversary again soon. And I'm always grateful for the gift of my marriage. But I've been through this with friends. And so I've been a friend and a family member of people that have had to experience this. And so I was really struck by your sixth chapter. It's called A Time to Keep Silence and A Time to Speak, How Friends and Family Can Help. And my husband, Greg, and I have had the experience of being called into the annulment process by serving as, I don't know if it's called a witness or someone who basically is a party to the process. So basically, we accompanied a friend of ours through this process. And I can share that as that person's friend and also as, you know, one who witnessed the duration of that particular marriage, we spent quite a long time, the two of us, talking about our relationship to the couple and, you know, how it impacted us and how we could be better friends to them. And I wish I would have had your book back then because I think there's some wisdom there. And so just talk for a few minutes to those who are the family members and the friends of a divorced person about what that person needs as they're facing this aspect of their life.
Sure. Well, I'd like to kind of start that out by saying, think about, you know, the fact that divorce is often equated with death, the loss of a spouse through death. And there are some similarities, but largely it's a very different scenario. But when a spouse dies, the surviving spouse receives phone calls and flowers and visits and meals. People check in on them periodically. And that is all very good, and that all should happen. But when a divorce occurs, the loss is profound. That spouse may not have died, but they're gone. And often the remaining spouse is left in the lurch, scrambling to figure out how to pay the bills, how to, you know, help the kids. It's a very tumultuous situation, but they don't really get any flowers or meals or visits or anything. So it's an extremely difficult road to walk by yourself. And so what is important for people, you know, friends and family members of people who have gotten divorced or going through a divorce, is just to, you know, take care of them. So many times people feel awkward as if they, you know, give them some compassion that they're condoning divorce, and that's just not true. You don't have to condone what happened in order to sit there and listen to them. I like to kind of equate it to trying to mimic Simon of Cyrene, helping Jesus carry his cross. It's really that sort of accompaniment. You know, you just want to help them understand that God is close to them, you are there for them, and all is not lost, that they are still an important member of their family, they're still an important member of the church. And the other thing is oftentimes people feel that they need to have these major pearls of wisdom to, you know, this amazing advice to give. And it's not true. I think, at least in my case and in so many other people's cases, they just want to be heard. You know, they just want to be able to talk about what happened to them and cry on someone's shoulder without being counseled. If you have pearls of wisdom that you can share, that's great, but it's not necessary. The gift of your presence and the gift of your compassionate ear is really a wonderful gift.
I think that's important to reiterate because I think one of the things that we do sometimes when we're faced with suffering with a friend who's suffering, and if we don't feel like we have the right solution for it, we might actually just like kind of somehow mentally talk ourselves into, oh, well, I can't fix it, so I should just stay away from that person. And I think actually anybody who's going through this knows that that's the last thing that they need is people to stay away from them as if they're a pariah. And we don't necessarily, you know, like you said, we don't have to have the answer. We just need to be present. I think a lot about women in this situation who are suddenly coping with, you know, maybe needing to be a financial provider in a different way, or the care of their children on their own, or men too, you know, for whom this is just like a complete upsetting of life. So something as simple as saying, hey, you know, do you need a couple of hours while I take your kids to the playground, or can I pick up some groceries for you on the way home, or something as simple as that can be very helpful, right?
Yes, absolutely. Those are two beautiful suggestions because, especially, you know, for working spouses that have to be absent from their kids when they get home and they rush home and they have to figure out, you know, they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders and they have to figure out what's for dinner. To just offer to bring a meal or to pick up some groceries on the way, what a great gift. It's just really a blessing. You know, I think those are a great suggestion.
I'd like somebody to bring me dinner tonight. So let's think about that. And then let's talk for a minute about the kids. So regardless of how old your kids are, is there a way to kind of think about annulment in terms of what benefit it has for children if they, you know, unfortunately, some people think that, oh, well, if I receive an annulment, then it's like saying that my children are illegitimate or something like that. There's like a lot of misunderstanding. And I know some families who have divorces that happen later in life where the children are of reason and could actually maybe understand the healing that this is. So talk about the kids for a minute.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up because it is very important. The catechism is pretty straightforward about this issue. And what the catechism says is that children born of a putative marriage, meaning a marriage that was assumed to be valid but was later proven otherwise by the annulment process, they are valid. They're not illegitimate. They're gifts from God. They're it's still a family. Again, the annulment process is trying to detect whether or not the spiritual bond, the covenant between both spouses and God, which is unbreakable and indissoluble, was that valid. It does not ignore or deny that a real marriage relationship took place. It was witnessed by society. And the children of that marriage are just as valid as anyone else. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I think it's important to lay that to rest once and for all as much as possible. Because it does, it keeps people away, and it upsets people. It gets them unnecessarily angry with the church. How could you say this? You know, and it brings so much confusion and misunderstanding, beyond that. So I can't remember the canon. I note it in the book, but I believe it's canon 1133. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's what it was. But you can find it in the catechism, and if you search canon law on the Vatican website, you can find it there too. It's very straightforward.
Well, Lisa, one along with this great book, Mending the Heart, a Catholic companion, a Catholic annulment companion, you have your beautiful ministry Journey of Hope. And tell us a little bit more about that and what that can bring to parishes and individuals.
Sure. Journey of Hope is a 17-week program that I wrote back in 2000. I directed it in the Archdiocese of Atlanta for a long, long time. Hundreds of men and women have been through it. I don't direct it anymore, but I train other people how to do it. So it has spread across the country and into Canada. And it's a really simple program to implement. There's a book and a workbook which a participant will read during the week, and then when they go to a weekly meeting, they watch a video on that issue and have lots of great discussion. So it's very easy to implement, and anyone who might be interested in bringing that to their parish can go to lisaduffy.com, and at the top of that homepage, there's a menu, and you can click on parish package and find out more about it. All the items are there, and you can preview some of the videos that are on the video. So if someone wants to present this to their parish pastor, they can even click on the videos and watch some of that so they understand the content and they know that it's truly a Catholic program.
It's beautiful. Well, one of the things I think that's so clear to me in your ministry is that you have a heart for letting people know that they're not alone in this journey, that both through their spiritual life and through the church and people around them, that they don't have to face this journey of fear and confusion alone. And so I think that's a great thing. I love that Mending the Heart now can be kind of the go-to resource that we offer to people. So say a little bit about the kind of the changes in the process and what somebody would do if maybe they don't know, you know, maybe they've experienced divorce and they don't know what steps to take. What should happen from here?
What they should do first is go make an appointment with their pastor and discuss their circumstances. And most likely the pastor will, or, you know, a priest at your parish, will help you find the paperwork to file. And the reason why I'm not giving specific notations here is because every diocese is different.
Uh-huh.
sometimes tribunals have the documents listed on their website as PDFs, and you can just download and go from there. Sometimes they really prefer that you go to your pastor first. It really does vary. But what you would do, I recommend going and speaking to a priest who can listen to your circumstances and help guide you from there. A lot of parishes have what's called an advocate. It's different from diocese to diocese, but an advocate is basically someone who helps walk you through the process. But definitely take those first steps, going to speak with your pastor or your priest and getting that initial paperwork done. The questionnaire comes later. So what you would do is fill out 3 or 4 pages of personal information and a brief description of why you're applying. I think that's pretty safe to say that it's across the board that way.
Well, that's really helpful. And one thing that I want to clarify is that when Lisa says, talk to your pastor, so this is not like after Mass over donuts, kind of talk to your pastor. This is schedule an appointment, right? Because I actually have seen that happen to the priests at our parish are very good about, even if they're not saying Mass, they all come out at the beginning and the ending of Mass and they're present mm-hmm. there and definitely present for like kind of general questions and everything. But this is probably one of those, like, call the office, schedule an appointment. If that's challenging, explain the circumstances and don't try to do it, you know, on the spur of the moment in between Masses on a Sunday in the church parking lot, right?
Absolutely correct. And here's another thing to know, which is If you, you know, again, parishes are vastly different all across the country. So if you're in an area where your parish has maybe one or two priests and they're just completely pressed for time, you don't have to do that at your parish. You can go to another parish. As long as you have a priest who can guide you, who can kind of, you know, set you going in the right direction, that's what's important. So if you call the parish office and you can't get in to see the priest for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, if you're okay with waiting, that's fine. But if you're not, if you want to do it sooner, you can go to another parish.
That's really helpful to know, and in some cases might actually be helpful to the process too, depending on the circumstances. Well, the time always goes by way too quickly. Our guest this week on Lisa Hendy and Friends has been Lisa Duffy, and Lisa is the author of Mending the Heart, A Catholic Annulment Companion. This is from Our Sunday Visitor, and you can pick it up at your local Catholic bookstore or get it through osv.com or online. So Lisa, before we let you get back to work, any closing thoughts to share with our listeners?
Well, thank you for giving me that opportunity. And I just want anyone who is going through this process to know that, again, this is not a defining moment of your life. It is a very painful and difficult one, but God has a great future in store for you. So trust Him, hold on to hope, keep coming to Mass, receive the sacraments, and you will get through this. I promise you will get through this.
And you don't have to journey alone. You can definitely go over to Lisa's website. It's lisaduffy.com. We'll have links for the book and for Lisa's website in our show notes, wherever you're listening or over at lisahendy.com. And Lisa, thank you so much for the time and the good work. And we're just going to be praying not only for you, but all those who you serve. So thanks for coming on the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all you do, too.
Well, let's pray for each other. And friends, I need your prayers, too. Thank you so much for tuning in for this week's episode. I can't believe that we're already into May, and it's just a busy time of the year, but I thank you for listening. I'm also really grateful, as I said, for all the feedback you're sharing. Anything that you'd like to share about this week's conversation, you could definitely reach out to me by email, lisahendy@gmail.com, or on social media, pretty much anywhere at Lisa Hendy. I love hearing from you, and I love your thoughts about what's working for you with these podcasts and what you'd like to hear more of. So be sure to send some messages, and we'll be back next week with another new guest. I can't wait to share that with you. And until then, have a fabulous week. Enjoy this beautiful spring, and I'll see you next time on Lisa Hendy and Friends. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.